Truck News with Pat Kreitlow. Good to have you here on this Monday, August 1st. Wausau Mayor Katie Rosenberg is our guest for this hour. Katie has been has been dedicated to public service since way back when. And to prove that, you need only look at her Father's Day tweet where she said, "Happy Father's Day to all the dads. Here's a picture my mom took of my dad and me last year when she got sick of listening to us talking about all the public infrastructure in Marquette, Michigan." Katie, wear the nerd banner proudly.
I will always wear the nerd banner proudly. And honestly, Marquette, amazing, amazing work. I bet it was expensive.
Well, and that's the kind of public investment, you know, that frankly, it takes to one degree or another, so that you're, you know, it's the cliche, but if you're not growing and living, you're dying. And, mm-hmm. you know, we don't need that from any of our towns. Do you get this much, you know, what is the best part of being mayor?
Yeah. You know, I think just being around people, not the people who are trying to sell me on something, but just like hearing from people about what they actually care about, what's affecting them, what they need. That really feels centering to me, because it's like, oh yes, that's just exactly what I care about still. So sometimes it gets easy to get carried away with some of the stuff that we're asked. And, you know, when you're talking about investments of millions of dollars or what do you do with this stuff, it starts to get mind boggling. So it's nice to hear from people like, I just want to make sure that my water is safe to drink. Mm-hmm. Me too. That's it.
Right. So back into the nuts and bolts of the job then, and dealing with PFAS. Little plug for Up North News here, which you can find at upnorthnewswi.com or search Up North News WI on social media. I dare say we've been fairly relentless about covering the issue of PFAS, which is an acronym for a very long string of descriptions for industrial chemicals that are used in everything from firefighting foam to, you know, waterproofing to, you know, nonstick coating. These are man-made chemicals. Man-made chemicals don't break down naturally, easily, or at all, depending on the case. And, you know, we're finding more of these in our drinking water supplies around Wisconsin, around the country. It does not necessarily mean that there was, you know, nefarious intent on the part of manufacturers decades ago. It also doesn't take them entirely off the hook because, frankly, good stewardship is something that isn't a brand new concept here. Regardless, we have to move forward with identifying PFAS contaminated areas, trying to remedy them, or trying to mitigate the circumstances and live with it. And where necessary, you know, provide enforcement and seek penalties. So it's a very multifaceted issue that Mayor Rosenberg has had to deal with. Let's start with, what is the current situation of PFAS contaminations levels, you know, in Wausau, how you found that out to be, and what you're currently doing, what you want to do down the road. Where are we right now in terms of PFAS in Wausau?
Yeah, so in January, the DNR asked if we would voluntarily test because one of our neighbors had a well that was contained elevated levels of PFAS. So, of course, I said, absolutely, let's do this. We want to be a part of the solution. I wasn't expecting the results to come back that all six of our wells have elevated levels, and there's really nothing you can do other than provide alternative water sources, filters, things like that. So that was a challenge and a crisis, right, to deal with. So we've been handing out water filter pitchers. They're 5-stage. They have resins. They have carbon, all of that. But luckily, we were already in the works of building our new drinking water facility. And there's space to grow, which we're doing before we even open. So we're working on granular activated carbon system there that will take us down to hopefully non-detect levels. That will be probably January 24. But in the shorter term, we'll be opening this drinking water facility. We've been studying the effects of certain kinds of resins and different proprietary media. So we should get down to between 0 and 12 parts per trillion once we open that new drinking water facility this year. So really exciting. It can't come soon enough. It was really hard to not wish away the summer. But yeah, really excited that we'll have an equitable solution for, you know, everyone in this city.
It is that kind of Infrastructure investment, we talk about, when I think a lot of folks hear infrastructure, they just think roads and bridges, but it involves everything from sewer lines to, you know, drinking water plants and what have you. And you, frankly, you have to be creative, and you talk about resins and other things, because again, this isn't a single chemical compound. So you have to be creative, but you also have to make investments you weren't necessarily planning for. We've reported on some of the cities that are using funds from President Biden's American Rescue Plan and putting some of that money to work to at least mitigate PFAS contamination. How is Wausau, this is a two-part, how is Wausau dealing with the financial end of dealing with PFAS? And then, you know, we'll get to more of, you know, what the American Rescue Plan has meant to the city.
Yeah, so the building of the plant initially was paid for by borrowing and rate increases. So, you know, people were not happy necessarily about that. And to then to say, hey, by the way, we have $16 million in unexpected things that we didn't already account for. So we're trying to find different solutions that won't impact the ratepayers directly. And that's a challenge because, as you say, we have bipartisan infrastructure dollars, which are great. Thank you. We'll use them. They're all coming through the state. So there's that whole process there. We have some ARPA funding that we can work on. And, you know, we're also working with Senator Baldwin's office. She has opportunities for I don't think they call them earmarks anymore, but it's congressionally directed funding for, you know, nonprofits and local governments. So we're working on that. But all of this, we're working ahead of all of this because this all takes a lot of time. So we still have to come up with an alternative financing plan that we can then reimburse and hopefully not have to pass on so much in those rate increases. But that's probably a discussion that we need to have as a utility, but we're not quite there yet. So I wish I could tell you everything about how it will directly impact, but, you know, we're still kind of working on that funding package.
This would all go a little easier, a little more smoothly, if there were a state natural resources board that was devoted to caring for the state's natural resources. It is not. It is a board that continues to have control by Scott Walker appointees. And you might be surprised to learn that. But the story behind that is that even though we are in the fourth year of Tony Evers' term, there is a Scott Walker appointee, Fred Prehn, who won't leave the board. His term has expired well over a year ago. Governor Evers has appointed Sandra D. Noss to succeed him, but he won't leave the board, continues to do the bidding of Scott Walker, Wisconsin Manufacturers and Commerce, which has been downright hostile to identifying, cleaning up, and enforcing rules on PFAS. I set all this up for Mayor Rosenberg because, you know, he had decided somehow to make it personal when you simply wanted to care as mayor and seek solutions. And yet somehow he didn't take kindly to that.
Yeah, you know, that was a fun moment in February. And actually, I have a lot of feelings about how that meeting was run. So if anybody needs Robert's rules and decorum, you know, updates, I'd be definitely willing to help that DNR board out. But, you know, I think that this goes to show you how politics is making some of these situations worse for people. This is a situation that shouldn't be politicized. It shouldn't be left versus right. I think we all want safe water. I've not met people who are like, you know, I identify as a Republican and I don't care about water. That is absolutely not. So I think that this is definitely a step too far in this kind of politicking of the natural resources. And, you know, there's part of me that's like, why would we continue with a board like this? I mean, why do you keep it? It doesn't seem to be fulfilling its duties. So yeah, it was combative.
It was. I mean, he outright accused you of spreading hysteria. Yeah. You know, as you know, gender loaded a term as that is. But of course, he had the gender related you know, cojones to go there, I guess you could call it.
Yeah, you know, it's not the first time I've heard something like that, because obviously women speaking out, it gives people you know, a little bit to react to. But you know, that's his problem, right? I mean, I'm going to continue speaking out on behalf of my community, and he can choose to ignore it. he can say that that's political, but that's just not the case.
Well, I think that as more people learn about Fred Prehn's unwillingness to step down from the board, while it was done in explicit collusion with Republican legislators, leaders, even former Governor Walker, I believe that is going to become more of a liability the longer that he stays on the board. It will become an albatross around the necks of a party that, you know, already gleefully delights in the gerrymandering that it has done, gleefully delights in the obstruction that it's put in front of Governor Evers and Attorney General Josh Call. But I don't know that that's necessarily going to stick, Katie, because like you said, I, here in Chippewa County, surrounded by Republicans, not one of them is saying they're pro-pollution, and not one of them, you know, tells me they would like to, you know, block an election, and not one of them would agree with, you know, somebody staying on a board well after their term expired. And you're in an area now that went from a very reliable lawmakers representing it, like Mandy Wright, whom you referred to earlier, Dave Obey in Congress. You know, now you have a legislative contingent all the way down to a school board level that is, downright hostile to, like you said, rules and decorum and public service. And I can't imagine that's necessarily what you signed up for when you ran for mayor, but are willing to accept that environment.
Yeah, you know, this is one of those things where it's not enough to be just interested in policymaking and being a big nerd and, you know, getting stuff done. Like, you also have to basically arm yourself, you know, put your armor on every day, and just, you're going to get targeted. You're going to have people talking about you. You're going to have just nastiness, right? I mean, and, you know, politics in general, I mean, you can see it across the nation. It's become really challenging. And so there are people who maybe would be interested, but aren't. And that's, it's really the effects of this kind of hostile environment and what people are seeing on the cable news channels and even the not cable news channels, right? I do want to give a shout out to Sandra D. Ness. I got a chance to meet her last week, just serendipitously, and she is brilliant. She's a UWSP grad, knows a lot about soil. She's a teacher. We need her. We need her voice. She would be great on that board. So I really hope that we can find it in ourselves to figure out a way through this, because it's anti-democratic what's happening now.
Oh yeah, with a small D, and it will only get worse if Governor Evers is not reelected. You will continue to see people stay well beyond what they had signed up for. I mean, come on, look, it's even indicative now. Ron Johnson pledged to only run for two terms, and here he is running for a third term, and it's that kind of environment that. I mean, the headlines talk about how local election clerks all around the state and all around the country are feeling the pressure because of the big lie. There are conspiracy theorists in every town. And I don't know the degree to which you've talked to your own clerks and other election workers, but I would imagine they've expressed that same sense of concern and hostility that's out there.
Yeah, you know, during that first CARES Act funding opportunity, we actually installed bulletproof glass in the clerk's office so that there was, you know, opportunity to, you know, separate. And, you know, part of it was had to do with COVID, and we're able to separate people in that way. But we made sure that it was bulletproof because we just don't know. We don't know what to expect. And, you know, I don't want to alarm people, but that's just the fact of the matter. We have to protect our public employees that are on the front lines here all the time.
Mm-hmm. We're talking with Wausau Mayor Katie Rosenberg. Can you stick around for one more segment?
Oh, I think so.
Because if I had to let you go, I'd have to ask you very quickly about goats. And
we're not.
We have teased people all along the way here. So
people need to know about the goats.
People need to know, and we're going to deal with that. But we've been talking mostly in this segment about infrastructure, and I mean, we're not even going to have time to get into the COVID wastewater testing, but all the minutia of
so much good stuff.
it's not your everyday job, that's for sure. Wausau Mayor Katie Rosenberg will stick around with us for a little bit more to wrap up this first hour of Up North News with Pat Kreitlow for this Monday, August 1st. Find us on the web at upnorthnewswi.com. We'll be right back.